Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the sixth chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, beginning with the first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray now that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. A number of years ago, a man was playing basketball with a group of friends that were probably in their late 30s, early 40s. Kind of a pickup game for fun. And all of a sudden, one of the men started having heart trouble and fell down out of bounds under the basket. Turned out he had actually at one time played in the NBA and was considered to be in very good shape. But right there on the court that afternoon, he suffered a massive heart trouble and ended up dying right there on the basketball court, even before the ambulance could arrive. One of the men who observed that incident went home that night, a Christian father, and after supper took his teenage son into his bedroom and sat down with him on the bed and said to him, "When I get to heaven, one of the first things I'm going to do is look for you. I'm going to look for you. Please don't let me down." It'd be interesting to, if you could possibly do this, someday in heaven, take a poll of all the people that are there through faith in Christ and simply find out from them how significant the role was of their parents in getting them there. I would guess it would be in the 90 percentile. The relationship between a parent and a child is so extremely important in so many facets of life, and we see it in a variety of places, but there is no place of greater significance and importance than that of their eternal well-being, their eternal welfare. More than likely, the vast majority of us sitting here today are here because of Christian parents. Certainly, there are some exceptions. It demonstrates to us how absolutely crucial and critical these relationships that we have in this world truly are. And God has designed them that way intentionally on purpose. Even when his own son becomes incarnate in this world, he has him enter this world in a family and have relationships of parents to take care of him, to bring him to the temple, to introduce him to the Word of God. And so God would have us understand the role of being parents, and the majority of you students, vast majority, are not yet parents. It is my hope and prayer that someday you will be. And God would have you understand your future role as a mother or father, seeing that home life that you establish as the primary garden in which the Christian faith is to be planted, nourished, and grown in the hearts of your children. Now, Satan, of course, knows this too. He knows how important that relationship is as well. He knows how significant it is to have a good, strong marriage in the home. He knows what can happen to people's spiritual lives when that gets rattled and when that gets shattered. And so he loves to spend a lot of time, energy, and focus on messing up the relationship between mom and dad and also between child and parent. Because if he can get his fingers into that, he can do some serious damage that can have lasting consequences for generations sometimes. And so our enemy that wants to pull us from Christ and keep us from heaven clearly knows how important these relationships are as well. Who taught you how to ride a bike? More than likely it was one of your parents, maybe an older sibling, but I think in most people's cases, it was their parents. When you're, let's say your dad. In my case, it was my dad. When your dad taught you how to ride a bike, And think of yourself someday teaching your child likewise how to ride a bike. Why are you doing it? Well, you're doing it for them, for their own safety, for their own benefit, for their own welfare, something that will hopefully help them well into adulthood and on into life. Every time I still ride a bike, I can thank my father who taught me how to ride a bike. And every little move and suggestion and bit of instruction that went along with that process was part of that ultimate larger goal of having them be able to finally take over on their own. And so there's a time in the process of training someone to ride a bike. There's a time where you do the work for them, maybe just show them how it's done. There's also a time where you kind of take them along, and when you do more of the work, and then there's time when you do a little bit less of the work, and the idea is that you wean yourself out of the process so that ultimately you work yourself out of a job. And that is exactly, with something as silly and insignificant as riding a bike, that is exactly the process that God would have us use and understand when it comes to the spiritual training of our children for the most important thing that will ever happen, and that is standing before God on Judgment Day. That we would go about it with that same approach. There's a time to lead them, there's a time to be alongside of them and walk them, but there's also a time to finally let them go, and your job is to work yourself out of a job. God has established these relationships with a particular hierarchy of authority on purpose, because there needs to be this authority for this to take place. Underneath his own throne, God now places mothers and fathers in this very special role. And he uses this as a reflection of even our relationship to him, whom we call our Father in heaven. Martin Luther said it this way: God has exalted fatherhood and motherhood above all other relations under his scepter. He does not command merely to love the parents, but to honor them. Isn't that interesting? And that's even for us as adults now. Not just to love our parents, but to honor them, like the way we would a king. But God is so gracious to us that even in this life, he attaches a promise to this command, unlike the other commandments. He attaches the promise that it may be well with you and you may live long life on the earth. God does not want this authority of Christian parents to be abused. Just like with teaching a child to ride a bike. If you hold on too tightly, if you squeeze too hard, if you yell and shout and frighten them into trying to learn, it's not going to work. You're going to cause trouble and cause a crash. God says to us, especially to the fathers, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Not to be done with wrath. In the same way that God deals with us with our spiritual lives. He doesn't come to us and force us into things and coerce us and pressure us. He loves us. He loves us into his obedience. He comes with his grace and forgiveness in Christ and showers it on us for all of our sins we've ever done wrong. He gives us the promise of everlasting life in heaven. He tells us that he looks at us now like we are saints in front of him. He does it completely out of love. Our heavenly dad treats us with nothing but compassion and love through his precious means of grace. This is how he connects himself to his children, us, in this world. And he would have us use the same pattern, the same modeling of how we are now to bring up our children as well, to win them over through their hearts with love, in Christian love. And God would have us, as we run alongside of our kids as they're learning to ride the bike of their spiritual life, God would have us, at a certain point in time, also show it to them in our own lives. To remember that every day with our kids, we are modeling to them what a Christian is like. That means even when we make mistakes and sin, that we show them repentance and how significant that is and how important it is to receive God's grace and forgiveness once again. And that we also, as we take them on that path of learning to ride on their own, that we finally be able to let them go, having instructed them in the Lord's ways. But throughout the entire process, to hold before them the beautiful cross of their Savior, who has loved them with a deeper love than any earthly parent will ever know. And God would have us always keep the ultimate big picture in mind. that the real focus and purpose of our instruction to our children is to have them reach heaven. You know, someday on Judgment Day, how good of an athlete your child is isn't going to make a whole hill of beans. And how great they did in school and all of that. Not that those things aren't important. But to remember as Christian parents to keep the big picture in mind, and that is eternal life in heaven. The great irony of Christian parenting is this. In teaching your child how to be prepared to die, you actually teach them how to live in this life. May God grant all of you wisdom and ability in the future with your children. Amen. And one of our Christian parents has requested a prayer for her little daughter. Professor Tiffany Kloxim asked today that we keep her little daughter Savannah in our prayers, who has been hospitalized. Today we also pray for one of our fellow students, Cassie Shearer, who is recovering well. Let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before your throne of grace on behalf of little Savannah. We pray now that you would grant wisdom and ability to those who provide her with medical care, and that you would comfort her and her parents through the wonderful, gracious promises you have given us in your word. We also thank and praise you for the progress that you have granted to your servant Cassie, and we pray now that you would continue to give her improvement according to your will, and that again you would strengthen her by your grace. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.